Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We hear a lot of God talk. Our culture is very comfortable with God talk. Our politicians are comfortable with God talk. And we understand, out there in the culture, in the realm of politics, God talk is, it's generic. They're not necessarily talking about the Christian God. They're not necessarily talking about the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, presented to us, revealed to us through Jesus Christ in Holy Scripture. We understand that, but what about in the church when we hear God talk? What about in our songs when we hear God talk? Welcome back for day three of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're going to be studying the hymn, We All Believe in One True God, and finding out exactly who that one true God is. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 24th. He's a regular guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
You spend a lot of time on your radio program analyzing and critiquing popular Christian praise and worship music. Do you find in that music very often a Trinitarian view of God?
Oh, hardly ever. Hardly ever. You're lucky if you can find Jesus mentioned in a lot of modern music. Now it's there, you know, modern praise music. Jesus comes in, but often it's very, very vague terms. But a clear confession of the Trinity is a very rare guest in a lot of the church's songs, but especially modern music. And that's one of the things that really sets this hymn off. That's all it is, a clear confession of the Trinity, both who God is and what he's done.
Now, you say clear confession of the Trinity. When you do find something sounding like the Trinity in popular Christian praise and worship music, is it a clear confession of the biblical doctrine of the Trinity?
We do this on our show on Table Talk. We'll do the praise song cruncher, and we ask five questions about the different songs we're looking at. The first one is Jesus mentioned, and then the second one we look at mystical form and mystical content. But the hymn that actually gave birth to the praise song cruncher was this. It was number one. I don't think it is anymore, but it was number one on the CCLI, the Pop Christian charts, and it was a Chris Tomlin hymn. And there's a phrase in there that gets awfully close to the confessing the Trinity. It says, "God Father, Spirit, Son, God Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb." And I remember a few years back, I was listening to that hymn or that song, and I thought, "Hey, look, here's the Trinity: God, Father, Spirit, Son, confessed here." But then immediately after it, without any verbs connecting it at all, it says the Lion and the Lamb. Well, who in the world can sort out what the Lion and the Lamb is there in related to the Trinity, to the Father, Spirit, Son? You can't. There's no context, there's no verb, it's not even a sentence, it's just these images kind of piled up on one after another, and so it's an unclear confession of the Trinity. In fact, it's not even a confession of the Trinity because it's not saying anything. And that unclear confession of the Trinity in that number one song actually kind of spurred on how do we think about these things and how are we clear even in our praise of the Lord and our adoration of him, how can we be clear about, well, who he is and what he's done?
Now, the hymn we're going to be looking at, Luther's famous We All Believe in One True God, is often called a creedal hymn. Talk about the importance of the creeds to 16th century reformer Martin Luther.
Luther loved the creed. In fact, there was three things that Luther said that the Christian should say every morning and every night, and that is the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, which form the basis of everything. Everything grows from that. The catechism grows from that. I mean, that basically is the catechism. Our Christian piety grows from that. Our worship grows from that, from those three things. And Luther in the Large Catechism will say that, you know, in the Ten Commandments God teaches us what we're to do, but in the Creed he teaches us what he does, and that's theology proper, what God does. Luther, and this is one of these kind of geniuses of Luther, he takes the Creed, which was before his time, at least the Apostles' Creed was divided up into 12 parts, and he says, no, really, we would be better to divide them up, divide the Creed up in three parts. The first article being the article of the Father and creation, the second article, the Son, and him being Lord or Redeemer, redemption, and then the third article, the Holy Spirit, who makes us holy, the sanctifier. So the third article on sanctification, and in fact, in this hymn, that's apparently what happened. The hymn that we have here is Luther taking a medieval creedal hymn, which was one stanza, had all three articles in one stanza, and he breaks it up into three parts. And he has a stanza for the Father and creation, a stanza for the Son and redemption, and a stanza for the Holy Spirit and the Church and the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification.
How would you respond to someone who says, "Look," and we hear this often, "I believe in the Trinity, but the Trinity is largely a mystery. I can't wrap my head around it from a human standpoint. I can't understand it. Why make a big deal about confessing this teaching?"
Well, I mean, firstly, because the Lord makes a big deal about it. I mean, the Holy Scriptures make a big deal about getting this right, who God is. And then when we begin to see who God is, then we start to see that he is the God who loves us. I mean, the very most kind of the gospel in a nutshell, we call it John 3:16, is a confession of the Trinity, and it's for our salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, and that's of course worked by the Holy Spirit, would not perish but have eternal life. Or Jesus will say even clearer in John, this is life, that you would know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. So to know the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is life and salvation. So, apart from God being the Holy Trinity, there is no salvation. Not in the way that we Christians understand salvation. You can't have the Son sent to die unless the Father is sending the Son. So this is our salvation, and we confess it in the Creed. For us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. So the Trinity is not a sort of academic exercise. Or some sort of theological game that we play. I mean, the confession of the Trinity is not just for people who have too much time and you know, sit around and speculate. No, the confession of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the understanding that the Scriptures give us of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is eternal life. It is our salvation.
Here is stanza one of We All Believe in One True God. We all believe in one true God who created earth and heaven, the Father, who to us in love hath the right of children given. He in soul and body feeds us. All we need his hand provides us. Through all snares and perils leads us, watching that no harm betide us. He careth for us day and night. All things are governed by his might.
Children given, he in soul and body feeds us.
We called this earlier a creedal hymn. We really could call this a catechetical hymn, because this sounds an awful lot like Luther's explanation to the first article of the creed in the Small Catechism.
Yes. In fact, we see in this creed probably the Luther's understanding of the catechism, of the creed, taking shape. The catechism would come about 4 years later. The hymn is 1524, 1525, and the catechisms start rolling out around 1528, 29. But you're right. It's not, you know, when we confess the first article, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, in the Nicene Creed, it kind of takes us back. You know, it takes us back to the 6 days of creation and the Sabbath day when the Lord was resting. It takes us back from, I mean, this was a long time ago, way before we were around. But Luther, this is just beautiful. Luther will not let creation be a past event. He brings it right up to us. We're not saying God created heaven and earth. He said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and this matters because God is still taking care of me. I mean, right away in the hymn, we all believe in one true God who created earth and heaven, the Father who to us in love hath the right of children given. So that the Father is the Creator matters to me right now, because he created me and he cares for me and he provides for me and he protects me. This is really beautiful.
With about a minute here, are there echoes of the first chapter of John's Gospel, that right of children given?
Oh, yes. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God, that this is a privilege that we're called God's children. It's not something that we inherently have. In fact, Jesus will say to the enemies of Jesus, you are of your father the devil. But the Lord would take us, his people, and call us to be his children as a privilege, as a matter of love that he has for us. It's really quite great. And it's all there in that word Father. I mean, Jesus is the only begotten Son, but in Christ we become children of the Heavenly Father.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's day 3 of Issues Etc. Reformation Week on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 24th. We're studying the Luther hymn, We All Believe in One True God.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest as we study the Martin Luther hymn, We All Believe in One True God, our ongoing Issues Etc. Reformation Week special programming of studying Martin Luther's greatest hymns. Here's something that our St. Louis area listeners will be interested to know, and I strongly encourage you to attend. I've been to the Concordia Publishing House warehouse sale a couple times. It's a big affair. There are a lot of people there. You got to get there early. They open the doors, and when the doors are open, there are all the bargains right in front of you in their warehouse. You really can go and save a lot of money on the kind of resources that you hear us talk about here on Issues Etc. It's held Saturday, November the 3rd from 8 in the morning until noon, and Concordia Publishing House is located at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. That's just south of Interstate 44. So put it on your calendar and plan to attend from 8 until noon, the Concordia Publishing House warehouse sale, Saturday, November the 3rd, from 8 in the morning until noon, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis, south of Interstate 44. Brian, you said it's all wrapped up in the word Father, and this is important because although we're not talking about the Lord's Prayer per se in this, we're talking about the Creed, Luther also has a lot to say about how it is we are children of God. There's this generic sense, again, kind of back to the generic God, that all men are children of God, and maybe they're just kind of hearkening to creation. But when Christians say children of God, they mean something different, don't they?
Indeed. Indeed. I mean, and you think, well, we're talking about the first article, so maybe this being the children of God is a matter of creation, but it's not. It's actually a matter of faith. When we confess the creed, we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and it's that faith that is the thing that marks God's children, the believing his promise that he gives us in baptism, which is why, I mean, Paul gives baptism the name adoption, that we're adopted into the family, which is why when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord is calling us by his own name and making us part of the family, which makes sense. After all, Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. In fact, if you were to just look at that verse, say, how many sons does God have? You'd say, one. Jesus is the only begotten, but we are given this privilege of being God's children by our baptism, by the forgiveness of our sins, by being adopted into his family, in the Lord calling us out of the kingdom of darkness of the devil and into the kingdom of his glorious light. And in his kingdom, we're not in his kingdom as slaves, we're in his kingdom as sons. Just beautiful.
What kind of a father is he? What does he do as our Heavenly Father?
Well, this is, you know, we see it right here in the hymn. He both soul and body feedeth. All we need he doth provide us. Through snares and perils leadeth. So he provides for us. He leads us, watching that no harm betide us. He protects us. He careth for us day and night. Even when we're asleep, the Lord is watching over us. That he gives us all that we need for this body and life. Defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this only out of divine fatherly goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. This is what the Lord does for us.
Now, like so much of what is confessed by the Christian, it is in some ways, even for the Christian, counterintuitive, because our lives often, at least to us, appear as though God were kind of the absent father, the what do they call, the deadbeat dad, who doesn't care for us. We do run into all kinds of trouble. How do we reconcile that with what we sing in this hymn?
Yeah, that's why we sing I believe, not I see. We always sing I believe in one true God. We didn't see God create the world, but we believe it because he said it. We don't oftentimes see his love, but we believe it because he said it. And this really, you know, the more I start to understand the doctrine of justification, and there's a handful of passages, we've been talking about this quite extensively just lately, the more we understand the doctrine of justification, the more we understand that what this means in the Scriptures is that the Lord is our loving Heavenly Father, and we trust in that even when everything that we see would testify against it. So we walk by faith, not by sight.
Speaking of justification, that brings us to the stanza of this hymn that I think we ought to spend most of our time on. as we're studying this hymn, We All Believe in One True God. Stanza 2, we all believe in Jesus Christ, His own Son, our Lord, possessing an equal Godhead, throne, and might, source of every grace and blessing, born of Mary, Virgin Mother, by the power of the Spirit, Word made flesh, our elder brother, that the lost might life inherit, was crucified for all our sin and raised by God to life again. And listening to that second stanza of this hymn, We All Believe in One True God, it's really amazing how much Luther's able to pack into so little space. He even kind of rivals the original creed for his ability to say so much with so few words.
Yeah, it is amazing. You know, Luther's such a fantastic theologian that one of the things that is often overlooked is what a great poet he is. But apparently, and my German's terrible again, but this is that Luther is even packing it in there and doing it in a beautiful way, rhyming here and there. But he throws all this theology in. I mean, the second article has so much theology about who Jesus is and what he does. And he throws it all in there for us.
Now, what is he saying here about Jesus beyond that this is who Jesus is in the kind of that strict categorical sense, that he's equal to God, that he is the Son of God, that he is our Lord? What is the stuff that Jesus is doing for us in the stanza of the hymn?
Right. Well, we remember that this, I mean, the second article of the creed about Jesus is the reason why we have the creeds. I mean, this was the center of the controversy that marks the origin of the creeds. We're getting ready. I think it's 10 or 11 days from now. I can't wait for this time. I'm going to be in Ephesus. And we're going to go to the Church of St. Mary, where they had the fourth and the sixth ecumenical creeds. I don't know the number, the Council of Ephesus. And this is what they're duking it out with the Arians there. They're, Arius wanted to confess that Jesus was the highest and chief of God's creation, and that he can be called God, but not in the same way that we call the Father God, etc. And the Church is going to stand up and confess the co-equality of the Father and of the Son, that the Father is begotten, but he is of the same substance, light of light, very God, and all these sorts of things. And they're going to reassert the Nicene Creed. And so this was it's very, very important, is this relationship, I guess. There's probably a better word, but the relationship of the Father and the Son to be confessed clearly, because it is the Son who dies for us, and it is the Son who is raised. It is the Son who joins himself to our humanity and bears himself our sin. So it is fantastically important to know who this Son is, because we want to know what he's done for us. I mean, in the Creed we say, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, so that the purpose of Jesus coming into our flesh and blood is for our salvation. The purpose of him going to the cross and coming out of the grave on the third day and ascending into the heavens to sit down at the right hand of the Father 40 days later is for our salvation. So that even in the Creed we see it, and in Luther's hymn, perhaps it's even more emphatic, that all of these things that Jesus does, his conception, his birth, his crucifixion, is that the lost might life inherit. So that all of this is for us. In fact, the whole creed, this is just great. The whole creed is putting us in relationship to God and to everything else. So in the first article of the creed, I stand before God now as his creation, as his as his dear cared for creation, and so I stand in the context of all the rest of creation. I believe that God made me and all other creatures. And in the third article, just to skip the second, in the third article, here I stand before the Holy Spirit who is making me holy, and I stand now in the context of the church. But here in the second article, and this is just most wonderful, that I stand there with Jesus, and he is now my Redeemer. He is the one who is in my flesh and who's bearing my sin so that he can give me life. All of these things he does for me. He gives me himself with his death and his resurrection and eternal life. And this is the most wonderful, marvelous thing in all of the world.
Now, I don't think the words actually appear in Luther's original German, but it's added by way of completing the rhyme in the English translation. But can you speak briefly about this idea, our elder brother? About 30 seconds, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break.
Oh, yeah. This is really quite marvelous that Jesus is not, for example, he says to his disciples, he says, "No, look, I don't call you, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends," this sort of thing. Or perhaps with the brother imagery, we remember Jesus in the garden to Mary, where he says, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my God and to your God." That the Lord brings us into himself, so that now we in him are part of the family of God.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. It's day three of Issues Etc. Reformation Week on this Wednesday afternoon. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're studying the Luther hymn, "We All Believe in One True God." Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means and grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out saint.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean?
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California; Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California; Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California; Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California; Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan; St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois; St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois; Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin; St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin; Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri; Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas; St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas; University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado; St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan; Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska; and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 24th. Issues Etc. Reformation Week this year means that we're studying the hymns of 16th century reformer Martin Luther today. We all believe in one true God. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Brian, we were talking before the break about this concept of Jesus as our elder brother, and that is, and you've said it before here, it's come through in our study of this hymn, that we can call God Father only through the Son. And this is something that is born of faith and not of anything else, that this is something that only Christians can rightly confess. Pick up there.
Sure. Here's a couple texts. I found them here anyways during the break, which is good. Here, so just a few, but here's Romans 8, 15 and following. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs or co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. And then later, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is just beautiful. So that the privilege of being part of God's family and of bearing God's name is the privilege of that the Lord gives to the Christian. I mean, it's part of what it means to be called a Christian, that you bear the name of Christ. You do not bear the man of flesh. You're not Adamans or Fleshians or something. You are a Christian. You bear around the name of Christ because he's put his name on you in your baptism.
The centrality of the cross in the Nicene Creed is unmistakable. It is right at the very center of it, and the same is true of this stanza of the hymn, the second stanza here. Talk about that, if you would, how it is that Christ's specific work of death and resurrection is at the heart of every confession of the true God.
Right, right. We were thinking about this because now I think 10 days in Ephesus, and then in 14 days I'll be in Corinth, going from Athens to Corinth, and that's the same road that Paul took from Athens down to Corinth, like 60 miles, that he, apparently as he's on his way, decides to know nothing among these Corinthians except for Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is really stunning. He said, look, this is, if you need to know anything, you need to know that Jesus died, that he suffered in your place, that the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was slain for you, that Jesus was the object of God's wrath so that you could be the object of his love. And apart from that suffering and dying of Jesus, there is no salvation. This is the thing that's foolishness to the Greek and a stumbling block to the Jew, but for those who are called, this is the aroma, Paul will say later, the aroma of life. This is the greatest thing in all the world. And Luther reflects this when he has a summary statement where he says the cross alone is our theology, because everything in the Scripture and everything in the way that the Lord is dealing with us is either bending towards or growing from the cross. I mean, even the great miracle of the Incarnation. God himself taking upon our flesh and blood, our humanity, and permanently joining himself to us. Even this is for the purpose that he could die. It's for the purpose he takes upon himself a body so that he can have something to be nailed to the cross. He takes upon himself our blood so that he could spill it for our redemption. Even the incarnation is for the purpose of the cross. And the ascension of Jesus, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, is so that he can bear his blood and the result of his death to the right hand of the Father, where he can make intercession for us as a high priest. So that he enters the office now of high priest precisely so that he can bring the victory of his death to bear on us now. So this is the most beautiful, wonderful, and I mean, it's central in the hymn, it's central in the creed, it's central in the Scriptures, it ought to be central in our hearts and in our minds, that Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for us so that we might be his friend and his brother, his child, so that we might have his name and his life.
Is this what ultimately gets lost when, as we started out talking about popular Christian praise and worship music, when the Trinity gets lost in their songs?
Yeah, I mean, that is the danger. That is the danger. The biggest danger of modern praise and worship music is that the wonder is not what God has done, but the wonder is now how I feel, how I'm relating to this. So, I mean, that's the danger of mysticism, that that all the actions of God are not external but internal, and I have some sort of internal union with God. We want to always be drawing our hearts and minds back to the historical fact of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that's where we find our comfort and our peace. God loves us so much that Jesus died for us, and no matter what we see around us, you know, no matter what we feel on the inside of us, no matter what, we know God loves us because Jesus died. And you can undo the love of God just as well as you can undo the death of Jesus on the cross. You know, go back in time. We talk about this. You go back in time, you pry Jesus off the cross, and you give him the little bonk, chest thing that bring him back to life. What is that thing called? And you shock him back to life, and then you wrap him in a cage so that he never could get put on the cross again. I mean, you just can't do it. You cannot undo God's love for you. It's impossible. Jesus is dead for you, and he's raised for you, and nothing can change that.
Here is the third stanza of We All Believe in One True God. We all confess the Holy Ghost, who in highest heaven dwelling with God the Father and the Son, comforts us beyond all telling, who the Church, his own creation, keeps in unity of spirit. Here forgiveness and salvation daily come through Jesus' merit. All flesh shall rise, and we shall be in bliss with God eternally. Stanza three of We All Believe in One True God. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Brian, this isn't the Holy Spirit floating around calling attention to himself. He is pointing us to the work of Christ. Why is the Holy Spirit always pointing us toward Jesus and his work for us?
There's this mysterious verse in the middle of John. It's John chapter 7 or 8, or where he says, Jesus is talking at the feast, on the last day of the feast, and he says, out of you will flow streams of living water. And then John comments, he says, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit who would come from those who would believe, but the Holy Spirit had not yet been sent because Jesus had not yet ascended. Now, there's something really theologically compelling about this, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the crucified, dead, raised, and ascended Jesus. So because the Holy Spirit proceeds from Jesus who died for you and who was raised for you and who ascends to the right hand of the Father to intercede for you, then the Holy Spirit is going to bring you Jesus. That's all he can do. I mean, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you the mercy and love and life and promises of Christ, because the Holy Spirit is sent from Jesus who's given everything to have you, so the Holy Spirit is going to do the same. It's really quite amazing that whenever the Holy Spirit now comes in the New Testament, Old as well, that he comes bearing the name of Jesus and the promise of forgiveness. He comes to apply the promise that Jesus won. He comes to bring the forgiveness that Jesus accomplished on the cross, And he brings it right to us. So Jesus promises that I won't leave you as orphans. I'll send you another comforter. And there's something really amazing about that word comforter. It's a hard word to translate. It's the Greek word paraclete, which probably means, it's probably a legal term. It means like defense lawyer. And it's used of Jesus himself, where it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That word there is paraclete too. So we have a paraclete in heaven, Jesus, who speaks of his death to the Father on our behalf. And now we have a paraclete on earth, the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our conscience about the death of Jesus. So we have this kind of mirror image of things happening. Jesus in heaven speaking to the Father on our behalf, and the Holy Spirit here speaking to us on our behalf, both speaking of the death of Jesus. Just beautiful stuff.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We'll take another break when we come back, 10 more minutes with him. We'll talk a little bit more about this third and final stanza of the Luther hymn, We All Believe in One True God, and then we'll hear the entire hymn and get Pastor Wolfmiller's final thoughts. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. When we come back, we would not have completed our conversation on this third stanza if we did not talk about the Holy Spirit's work in creating the church, or as Luther would have said in his original version of this great hymn, adorned the church with beautiful gifts. We'll talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Word and the sacraments, right after this.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India,
Sweden,
Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org. Welcome back. We're studying the Luther hymn, We All Believe in One True God, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on this day three of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Folks, here's a great way that you can support Issues Etc. Real Reformation Radio. It's our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. One of the levels is called The Apologist. It's $50 monthly or $500 annually. That amounts to less than $2 a day. When you become an apologist, you'll receive an I Have Issues t-shirt, an autographed copy of Pastor Matt Harrison's book, Christ Have Mercy, and two Issues Etc. books of the month. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Thanks, as always, for listening, and thanks for considering becoming a member of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
In this third stanza, before we hear the entire hymn and get your final thoughts, Luther says, and it's lost in English translation, that the Holy Spirit creates the church and adorns this church with beautiful gifts. Let's talk about how we know that we're really looking at the church that the Holy Spirit has created.
Yes. I don't know how many times I've mentioned that Luther's a genius in this thing, but here's another little place where we see it, is that when Luther looks at the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. He doesn't see it as six, you know, kind of unique statements just floating out there by themselves. He sees this as a story unfolding. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who creates the Holy Christian Church. I mean, how does a church become holy? Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And how does the church make the Spirit make the church holy? Well, he does it with holy things. That's God's Word, the chief holy thing. And his Word connected to water and the body and blood of Jesus, the holy sacraments. That's how we become holy. And the result is the Holy Christian Church, that is the communion of holy people or the communion of saints. The gathering together of the Lord's people. And how do we know that we're holy? Because we have the forgiveness of sins, which come to us in the promise of the gospel. And what's the result of this? Well, we have the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So that this third article of the Creed tells of the work of the Holy Spirit among us. And it is to bring God's gospel and his baptism and his supper, to bring it to us that we might share in this forgiveness that the Lord Jesus has won, that we might be partakers of his mercy and his kindness and his promises.
And then, with only a minute, it ends with our resurrection, even as Christ's death and resurrection is the center of this creedal hymn. About a minute, your thoughts there.
Yeah, it ties it all together, right? Because the Lord loves his creation. We know that because he created everything. Jesus loves his creation because he joined himself to the creation in order to redeem it. And the Holy Spirit loves creation. He's going to bring us back to life for the new heaven and the new earth where we'll live together with him. Our organist here cannot play that last stanza without this huge pause, and all the stops come flying open and in bliss with God eternally. It's just... this is the goal of it all, that we who have run from the face of God because of our sin, God has now run to us and swept us up into his life, and he has us there so that now forever, I mean, without end, we will be with him.
Let's hear the entire hymn from the pen of Martin Luther, "We All Believe in One True God." Brian, your final thoughts on We All Believe in One True God.
It's just stunning. You know, in the, Luther puts the creed after the Ten Commandments in the Catechism. And, you know, you get to the end of the Ten Commandments, and, I mean, you know, one commandment is bad enough. My idolatry, you know, puts me as dead before God. My lack of prayer, my lack of concern for His Word, my rebellion, my anger and my lust and my greed and my gossip and my discontent. And we get to the end of the Ten Commandments, and we realize that we deserve absolutely nothing from the Lord except for wrath and hell and damnation. And then we get to the Creed, and we start singing hymns like this, and we realize that instead of handing us over to death and taking everything from us, the Lord gives us everything. It's almost beyond words. The Father gives us Himself with all of creation. The Son gives Himself over to death, to suffering, to the wrath of God, to the smiting of God in His anger, so that He could have us as His brother and His friend and His child. And then the Holy Spirit gives Himself to us with the Church and the Word and the gift of baptism and the Lord's Supper and our justification and the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of the resurrection and eternal life. So we're not even there when God creates, and now we're not at the beginning, but we're going to be at the end when everything's made new, when everything's recreated. And we'll be there singing the praises of God as he strips away sin and death and the devil from this world, and he has us there as his friends and his companions, and we stand before His face forever. I mean, it is the most marvelous thing in the world to think that we who deserve absolutely nothing from God have God and all of His gifts, and that we get to sing of it and we get to confess it in the hymn. And this is the joy of the Reformation. This is the joy of the Church. This is the joy of being Christian, that God, who should take everything from us, actually gives Himself and all of His gifts to us, so that we would rejoice in Him, not only in this life, not only right now, but forever.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. You'll find a link to Table Talk Radio under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you very much.
Fantastic, Todd. It's always great.
The question, what does this mean, that comes straight from Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism. It's a good question. We humbly ask you to answer that question with regard to Issues Etc. Issues Etc., what does this mean? We want your answer to that question. We're playing your answers to that question during our upcoming 24-hour live broadcast called Issues Etc. 24. So we need your answer to that question at the Issues Etc. comment line before Friday, November the 2nd, when Issues Etc. 24 begins. Here's the number you can call and answer the question. Issues Etc., what does this mean? 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Thanks for your answers to that question. Issues Etc., what does this mean? Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study the Luther hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, with Dr. Paul Grimm. And then Friday, we'll talk with Dr. Arthur Just about the hymn, To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord. You know, I raised the objection with Brian earlier, and people often say this, the doctrine of the Trinity, it's a mystery. No one can understand it. We can't wrap our heads around it. Well, that doesn't make a clear confession of the Trinity less necessary. It makes a clear confession of the Trinity more necessary than ever. When people are doubting it, when people are saying, I don't know what I believe about the Trinity, does it even matter what I believe about the true God? That is when the Church doesn't silence its confession of the Trinity, or compromise it, or hide it away, or shelve it. It sings it, it confesses it. It says to the whole world, and indeed to faltering Christians who may not even know what the teaching is, who this true God is actually, says to them, our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at the center of that confession is the cross of Jesus Christ. We continue to confess the Trinity, not only because it's true, but because it is part and parcel of the gospel, the Father who sent the Son to redeem the world and bring us to Himself by His Holy Spirit. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.